Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
God bless you. You may be seated. It is a great pleasure I get to introduce Mandy Pena. I wanted to call her name she grew up with, because I happen to be her aunt, and I had to think for a minute. But I would love to tell you a little bit about Mandy. I got to be a part of her raising. She is the daughter of my sister, who my sister and her husband have been pastors for years. But Mandy grew up as a PK. Who knows what a PK is? Yeah. Anyway, I won't tell her story, but I will tell you I was blessed to be a part of the molding, the modeling some days that were good and some days that weren't, and she learned what not to do, you know. Parents, aunts, if some of you are not mothers, I want to mention it's really important that you know that you have an important place in the lives of the people and children that God has placed in your life. And I just really had no idea sometimes of how much importance my nieces and nephews have placed on me. And so anyway, I hear more about that now, and it blesses me. But if you've ever wondered what it's like to have a heritage, it would be when you get to model, whether it's your real blood kin or it's just your nieces, nephews, there's a heritage that follows when you're authentic and you're real. And God does His work, even when they take their wings and fly on their own, and God brings them back and does a work. He is faithful, and I want to encourage you that way. But as I introduce her, I want you to help me welcome Mandy Pena.
Thank you, and thank you to my beautiful Aunt Ivy. Everything she said is exactly true. We learned real quick what not to do and what to do. We lived across the street for each other for some of my younger years, and she literally helped raise me, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you, pastors, and you guys are so blessed here in this church. You have incredible pastors and leadership. I tell you what, I'm ready to pack all of you guys home and take y'all with me back to Texas. I feel so at home here. You have just embraced me and loved me. I told my husband yesterday on the phone, we are definitely planning a family vacation back out here. This is my new home away from home. So thank you for allowing me to be here and welcoming me. I just, y'all don't know it yet, but I love all of y'all. So this morning, you know what? Actually, my coworkers called me from the church and said, just don't get too comfortable, okay? Just don't get, but I think it might be too late, y'all. I think it might be too late. I love it here. You guys are awesome. So I know we've said it a couple of times, but my mom isn't here, and I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms. You know, there's some moms out there that your motherhood has nothing to do with the DNA. Your influence is so powerful. There's a lot of mothers in this church that has nothing to do with DNA. And I thank God for that, because we need godly mothers. We need godly fathers. We need godly parents. And the Lord puts people in our path. So happy Mother's Day to all of you beautiful women. I know that you have people in your life that you influence. I want to talk to you today. The title of my message is, Did You Forget? And I want to talk to you today from Luke chapter 24. I was a little bit hesitant to pick this passage because this is my husband's favorite passage out of the Bible. This whole chapter, he loves it, and I didn't want him to pick it apart for me, you know what I'm saying? And so I didn't share with him too much about Sunday. I'm just going to be real honest. I just kind of kept it between me and the Lord. But I want to talk to you from Luke chapter 24. This is a really interesting chapter because this is the chapter where the women, they go to the tomb. Jesus has already been crucified. The ladies go to the tomb, and they see this angel. I love the angel there. I love how it says he's wearing shiny clothes. Like, that angel, I hope he's my guardian angel because I love shiny clothes. That's totally irrelevant. But I love this chapter. It's just full of so much. And they go over there, and I just want to read a couple of verses from this first part. In chapter 24, verse 5, it says, "The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead.' Remember," another way to say that is, "don't forget what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." So he says to them, remember, don't forget what he said. Okay, skip down to verse 13. "That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing so intently as you walk?' They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. And then one of them, Cleopas, replied, 'You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days.' And Jesus says, 'What things?' And he says, 'The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth,' they said. 'He was a prophet. He did powerful miracles, mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. We had hoped he was, but he died.'" That's what they're saying. And I read that, and I stopped. And I was like, did you forget what Jesus did? Did you forget everything? Like, you just watched this man walk on water. Like, he healed people crazy ways. He spat in the dirt and put it on somebody's eyes. I mean, he did crazy stuff. Like, did you forget what he did? I mean, and here they are. We had hoped he was the Messiah. We hoped he was going to rescue us, but he died. This all happened 3 days ago. And I want to talk to you this morning about what happens when we forget what God has done and what he's said or how he's moved in our lives. Can you just bow your head for just a moment with me? Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Let your word be anointed and go forward with power and not return void. Speak to us, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm not talking about a complete memory wipe, okay? We're not talking about amnesia. We're not talking about that kind of forgetting. Have you ever put something down in your house and, like, you're just walking in real quick and you're like, I'll just put this up later. So you just set it down. It's in the wrong place, but you think, I'll just put it later. Well, you walk by it and you keep not putting it back up until finally you just don't even see the thing anymore because you're so used to it being in that place. You don't even acknowledge it. It's out of sight, out of mind, and we're really good at like this, okay? That's the kind of forgetting that I'm talking about. It just, we're so used to it being in that place that we don't think about it, okay? So I want to focus on 4 things that I think happen when we forget what God has done. The first thing is, forgetting what he's done, it places an obstacle into entering into God's presence and to hearing him speak to you. These two guys are walking along completely submerged in their sadness. And, I mean, this was a huge tragedy for them. They lost somebody that they loved and believed in. And they're trying to make sense of what happened. It's the same way that we do when we love somebody. We try to make sense of it. If something happens to them, we try to make sense of it. And we can't really wrap our minds around it. And I think that's where they were. They're walking along this road talking about it. Jesus casually joins up with them, and he's joining in the conversation. But they couldn't even recognize him. I'm sure that they prayed. I'm sure they asked God, you know, why did this happen? How can this be your will? Has anybody ever done that? How can this be your will? And there he was walking step by step with them the whole way. How can this be your will, God? And here he is the whole time. But they didn't know it was him. I want to tell you about a sweet girl. Her name is Geneva. Geneva has my heart. She was born normal, just there was nothing going on in her life. She was born and had her whole life ahead of her, and then through some situations that were not of her own doing as a baby, she ended up mentally challenged. She and I are pretty close to the same age, and she has about the mental capacity of a 3 to 7 year old, somewhere in that, I think is what her family told me. And a couple of weeks ago, she calls me up and she says, "Pastor Mandy, I really need a ride to church. Can you come and pick me up?" Well, you have to understand, and Geneva does not have great timing. And she called me as I'm walking up. I lead worship at our church. As I'm walking up to our platform to get ready to start service. And I said, "Baby, I can't pick you up. I'm about to go," but I felt really guilty, y'all. I wanted to go get her. And so I said, "I will come after worship is over. I'll leave. I'll go get you, and we'll just come right back." And so we get down from worship. I walk towards the back of the sanctuary, and there's Geneva walking in. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I got to call her mom. So I called her mom right away because I didn't want her to think I was ignoring her. And her mom says, "Oh, no. As soon as you said that you couldn't get her, she hung up the phone and she called about 20 more people until she found somebody to get her into the house of the Lord. She was going to be there, okay? And it's not just one time. This is every week. She makes sure she's in church. But, you know, I'm sure that the people in Geneva's life were asking that same question. You know, how can this be your will? What are you doing, Lord? Where are you in Geneva's situation? But just like Geneva, sometimes we have to persevere towards the presence of God. You have to remain strong in your will and your determination to stay connected to His presence. We have to stay strong in our will and our determination to stay connected to His presence. I mean, we can be surrounded by people who believe like us and who want to be close to the Lord. We can be surrounded by godly things, our devotionals, our Christian music. We can be in places like this where this is designed to help us get into the presence of the Lord and still find ourselves fighting and struggling to get into God's presence. We can feel so pressed on every side, just trying to hear His voice. "I'm trying to see you. I'm trying to hear you. I'm trying to get closer to you." But don't forget to remember what He's done for you. Amen. Don't forget 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 7. "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves, we're like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Can somebody say amen? Remember what God has done in your life. Amen. The second thing I think that happens when we forget is that it keeps you looking back at your past struggles instead of forward to your victory. The past is a powerful thing. The emotion tied to a memory, sometimes it can overtake us. Did you ever hear a song and immediately your mind just goes right back to a certain place in time? Yeah, or a smell or a place or, you know, just anything. Our emotions that are tied to memories are really strong, especially negative memories. And it takes work to move out of that. Now, I would say that moving forward and healing, I don't think those are the same thing. We can move forward. We can go forward, but that doesn't mean that the healing has taken place on the inside. And sometimes we just learn to coexist with that wound. We learn to coexist with that struggle. And if somebody brings up that particular thing, it's just as fresh as the day it happened. And we put up our defenses, and then crisis mode kicks in. Chuck and I were talking about this the other day, or the other night when I got into town. Sometimes we wait too long to eat, okay? And if y'all know me, y'all know I love food. I'm trying to work on it, but I love it. So we're talking about food, and sometimes we wait too long to eat, or we eat at the wrong time. It's irregular. And so what happens is our body starts storing up what it's supposed to be letting go. And that's how we do sometimes. Sometimes if we're not regular on our prayer and devotion, if we don't stay connected to his presence, we start holding on instead of releasing it to the Lord. Instead of trusting him and giving him free access to my brokenness in order to experience that true healing. My husband says it this way. Surrender is the prerequisite to restoration. Surrender is the prerequisite to restoration. In Isaiah 58, verse 6 says, "No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. Do not hide from relatives who need your help." I'm saying nothing, okay? I'm not saying anything. "Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will heal quickly. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind." The glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. We've all got a past. We've all got things that we don't want blasted out there for everybody to see. But if we don't surrender it to the Lord, we will hold on to that past. We will allow it to label us and define us instead of the works to which he has called us to. He tells us how to be free. He tells us how to let go. Stop looking only at yourself and only at your problem and start looking around. There are needs all around this community. And your pastors and your leaders, they are praying for volunteers. If you don't know how to get involved or what to do, maybe you're not aware of some of the things that are around here. You have pastors and leaders here who can get you connected into this community because this community needs this place. The glory of the Lord is in this place. And I'm telling you, they will guide you and get you involved. Do something to help somebody else. Show somebody the love of Jesus. It's not that the past doesn't still hurt, but what joy comes when God takes your past. He binds up the wound. He heals the hurt and uses it for the good of his kingdom. Amen. This is how he protects you from behind. You're no longer a victim of the past, but you are an overcomer. And then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will heal quickly. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Do not forget what God has done in your life. Remember. The third thing that happens, I believe, is that it raises doubt. Forgetting what God has done raises doubt. It keeps you from recognizing God's present activity in your life. Forgetting how God brought you through will put your discernment of the current situation on pause. Okay? Look, y'all can tell I'm from the 80s. That was my tape recorder on pause. Where's Isaac? That's confirmed. And whatever is going on, when whatever is going on in our lives doesn't make sense, go back to the secret place of prayer, meditating on God's word, and trust that he is working on your behalf. Do not let doubt cloud your trust. When my husband Stephen and I were engaged, I forgot to introduce my family. Do you have that picture back there? They're so sweet, y'all. They called me this morning. I don't know if they have a picture of my people up here. These kids, I call them these people sometimes because that's how I feel about, I don't know. Anyway, they were so sweet. They called me this morning at 6:30 this time. I was like, I love you. I'm sleeping. Anyway, but they're beautiful. When my husband and I were engaged, the Lord gave me a dream. And in this dream, we were married, and then there were two dots. And I guess I just subconsciously knew that those were children. I don't know. I had the dream the next night. We were married. There were two dots and then another dot. And I had this dream consecutively for 4 nights until there were 5 children, 5 dots in this dream. We weren't married yet, and I didn't want to tell him because I thought, he might freak him out a little bit. 5 kids, that's a lot, y'all. That's a lot. But the Lord is gracious because he gave Stephen the same dream. So I knew it was from the Lord. So we get married. 8 months later, we find out we're pregnant. And we went for our first sonogram. And the first question we asked was, how many kids do you see in there? We knew. We heard from God. Like, there was no question about it. And we were really surprised when they said, there's only one. We just kind of looked at each other. We're like, are you sure? We really asked that. Are you sure? Can you look again? And she said, unless you see something I don't see, there's only one in there. And she thought we were crazy. But I started questioning the Lord, because what I could see with my physical eye didn't match what I could see with my spiritual eyes. And it caused me to question him. And later on, here's where it gets whatever. I learned that somebody that I had a past struggle with was pregnant at the same time. And her doctor thought she was having twins. And for me to tell you that jealousy crept in would be a lie. It came crashing in like a tsunami. Because I said to myself, that's my promise. You promised me that. Look, I'm just being real. I hope y'all didn't have a preconceived idea about my spirituality. I'm a real person. And I'm telling you, this was really hard for me to accept. And the Lord really began to deal with me. But I did not want to let this go. I was really confused. And I became so confused that I got angry about it. And one day in my living room, the Lord really impressed upon me just to start interceding. Well, I thought interceding for my child that I was carrying. And so I did, and during that time of prayer, he dealt with me about this jealousy to the point I couldn't take the conviction anymore. Don't you just love how sweet the Holy Spirit is? He knows how to deal with each one of us in such a way that we feel loved and spanked at the same time. He does. But I love it because it's all about pushing us forward and healing those broken places. And so I repented. I had to. I couldn't get up from that place without repenting, and I asked the Lord to help me to accept his will, whatever it was and whatever I thought it could be or whatever. And from that point, I just got up and moved on. The next week, we were in Denver at some meetings, and there was a beautiful, precious, elderly couple. They asked if they could pray over me and my baby, and I said, sure. So they prayed over me, quick, simple prayer. I didn't feel anything crazy happening, but I was really grateful. Went back to our hotel, and every morning for the rest of that week, my stomach grew by an inch outward, and to the point where I told my husband, but please understand, by this time, I really just thought we're just having one kid. I told my husband, something is wrong. Something is wrong. We need to go home, and we need to see the doctor. So we did that. The next week, we went home. We saw the doctor. They did a sonogram. And there they were, two babies, my first two dots on the sonogram. Can I just tell you to remember what God has done and what he said in your life? Don't forget, when God has spoken to you and you know it's from the Lord, do not forget what he has said. You hold on to the promise of God. Don't let doubt just come in and cloud your trust in who he is and what he can do in your life. He is so much bigger than anything we could ever think or imagine. He is so good. Remember what he's done. The last thing that I want to say about that happens when we forget is, I think that forgetting affects your worship. The very basic definition of worship is just, it's where we put our attention on what's divine and supernatural, okay? But I want to work off of this. There's a lot more layers to worship. We all know that. But I just want to work off of this basic definition, because forgetting what God has done, it puts our attention on the problem and not on the one who can fix it, not on the one who can get us through. So we need to make sure that we're paying attention to how we worship, where we put our attention and our focus. And I'm not saying that we need to ignore problems. We need to take it to the Lord. We take it to him and we lay it at his feet. Release control. 10 years ago, I was pregnant with my daughter, Aaliyah, my little princess. Listen, y'all, she was a gift from the Lord, because I had a house full of boys, and I cried when I found out we were having another baby for a while. And I think the Lord gave me another a daughter because he knew I needed some help with these boys. But during the end of that pregnancy, I was diagnosed with cancer, with thyroid cancer. Now, according to the doctor, if you're going to have cancer, this is the one you want. That's not comforting at all. Not at all. All you hear is the word cancer. He said, it's the most treatable. It's, you're going to be fine. Really? You just told me I had cancer. And so the next day, I was scheduled for a biopsy. It was horrible. I pray for anybody who is dealing with that. We are all touched by cancer, whether it's us personally or a family member, because the process is, it's difficult. But I'm going to tell you, God will give you the strength to go through it. God can give you supernatural strength from heaven and touch you and help you to go through what you need to go through. So I had the biopsy. And then 2 days later, I saw the doctor. I felt like he was moving really fast. He wanted to schedule surgery for the next day. And I was like, hold on. I need a minute to process this. I had no relief. I was just scared. I remembered, you know, this dream that I'd had about my kids, the Dots, right? He told me 5 kids. I was only on number 4. Again, starting to question where God's at in this whole circumstance. So I was confused. And I'd love to tell you that I had faith like a mustard seed. Or some wonderful story to tell you, but I don't. I mean, I asked the doctor to give me the weekend. We went home. I fell on my face and cried like a baby. It was ugly. I looked exactly like my toddler, my 3-year-old now, when he can't get what he wants. I'm telling you, it really affected me. I didn't know that was in me. I did my best to pull it together, and I tried to muster up some faith. You know, we do that. We try to get courage. We try to do whatever, but this is what I said to my husband. I said, honey, we have to pray for a miracle. Like, we need to pray that God just removes this tumor out of my neck. I believe in divine healing. I believe that God can do it. But what I said next was kind of dumb. I said, we can't afford for me to have cancer. He just looked at me, and he said, okay, hold on. Are you telling me that you believe the God of the universe, who spoke everything into existence, can reach down out of heaven unseen all the way inside your body undetected and grab every single cancer cell, pull it out miraculously, but he can't provide? Y'all, this is the man I'm married to. I love him. He said, did you think God went broke? I never thought of it. I was worried about the insurance and whatnot. And I'm like, Lord, this is in my mind. That's how God was going to save me. He was just going to take it away so we wouldn't have to deal with it. Yesterday, we talked about that scripture that all things work together for the good. Sometimes that all things means you have to go through some things, right? So I was able to acknowledge God for divine healing, but my attention was not on what I knew he could do. It was what I thought was too big for him. So things transpired very quickly. We had the surgery. They took my entire thyroid out. And then 6 weeks later, they realized that it was spreading still. And at this point, I had not had radiation. So they ended up having to remove 2 rows of lymph glands. Had already spread to my lymph glands, which for thyroid cancer is kind of unusual. It doesn't really spread, but mine did. And was getting ready for the surgery, and the doctor told me, he said, look, I'm going to tell you, we've already scraped your vocal cords pretty bad. We're going to have to do it again. You're probably not going to be able to talk, if at all. You will not ever be able to sing again. And I just, what do you say to that? That's how I worship the Lord. That is how I feel connected to his presence. That, I said, God, don't take my worship. Don't take my worship. But I didn't realize I was putting attention on the wrong thing. I didn't realize it. And so, I mean, I still believed for healing, but I watched as he took that thing I was afraid of. Do you remember the provision part of that? He took that thing I was afraid of, and that's what he walked out with me. Because my insurance dropped me. They said, this is a pre-existing condition. Not only are we going to cancel our communication, we want to put our relationship back as if we had never known you. They took back every payment they had ever made on my behalf. Yeah. So here we are. I still have to have treatment. And now I have hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical bills. What in the world? I was like, Lord, really? I just told you I was scared of this. And here I am. Are you kidding me? I mean, what do you do with that? So in the next few days, we came to a place where we left the doctor's office, and Stephen asked me, he said, "How do you feel? How do you feel after all this stuff that's happened?" And just something came over me, and I told him, "I feel like this is an opportunity for us to recognize God for who he really is. I feel like he wants to take us to another level in our worship." And sure enough, one by one, God miraculously provided every single bill. We got stopped by a state trooper in Texas. I don't know what your state police are like on the highway, okay? Ours are mean. And they are. Listen, they scare me. And so thank God I wasn't with my husband. Like, he is so personable. He talks to everybody. And he got pulled over by a state trooper. How in the world they got to talking about what was going on with their wives, I have no idea, because he was speeding. And the next day, he didn't get a ticket, y'all. Felt like that alone was a blessing. The next day, the state trooper shows up on my door, knocked on the door, and I was like, "Yeah, can I help you? Like, please don't arrest me. I'm just here." And he said, "Hey, I met your husband yesterday." I said, "Yeah, I heard about it. I heard. Thank you for not giving him a ticket." And he said, "No," he said, "you know, whatever we talked about, was it pulled on my heart." And he handed me $1,000 in cash. What policeman has ever given anybody money instead of a ticket? Only God can do that. And I just took it and I said, "Thank you so much." What do you say to a state trooper? You don't argue. You don't argue. So I wish I could tell you every single thing that happened. One by one by one, do you know how much we ended up paying out of pocket? Out of $145,000 that we owed in medical bills, $627.37. Yeah. That's the Lord. Can I just tell you that when you release to him what he can do, what he can take control of, and you just go along for the ride? I'm not saying it's going to be easy, because the ride is hard. It's bumpy. It's emotional. It's difficult. But don't let doubt cloud your trust in who he is. Don't let doubt cloud your trust in what he can do. Remember what God has done in your life. I'm telling you, he provided. He did bring a healing to my voice. After all of this was said and done, oh, you guys, I got to tell you, the radiation, by this time we had no means of having this radiation that I need. Now, radiation for thyroid is different. It's just a radioactive salt pill that you take. But that's an expensive pill. The whole process was close to $20,000 that we were going to have to pay cash for to be able to do it. My husband, God bless him, he worked tirelessly talking to doctors. And I mean, by the time it was all said and done with, he was talking to the CEO of the major hospital in the closest major town of our city. She was so precious. And the Lord opened that door. He did. she said, if you can bring me $4,000 cash, I'll get you in the door. But if you can bring, you know, the rest of it, we'll knock everything down to 12 grand. That was huge. But we had to really pray how the Lord was going to open that door up for us, to provide the cash. And so one day we were at the house, and somebody that my husband knew as a child called the house and said, "I just wanted to call and see how you're doing." Now, we hadn't talked to this man, or my husband hasn't spoken to him since he was a kid. I assumed he was calling to ask about this whole cancer situation, because why else would he call? Right? Why else would he call? I said, "Well, you know what? We're just trusting the Lord. He's going to provide. He's brought us this far, and he's not going to leave us." And he said, "What in the world are you talking about?" And I was like, "I'm sorry. I thought you knew." So I briefly explained to him where we were at. And he said, "You know, Mandy, it's really interesting that you say that, because God has really blessed me in my job. I don't deserve it, but God opened this up for me." And he said, "When I say blessed," he said, "sometimes I have to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do with this?" And he said, I have a stack of cash sitting beside me. Those were his words. "I have a stack of cash, and I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do?" And he said, "Call the Pinas." That's what I said, sister. But before we finished the conversation, he said, before I send this to you, I need to talk to my pastor, because this is an area that God uses my pastor. That church, I don't know if they even run 100 people. They sent us a check for $12,000. And it was the Lord. It was the Lord, and he uses us when we're open, when we're not holding on to things, when we're not trying to fix our own problems and trying to heal our own past, but when we let God do the work, when we let him bind up our wounds, he protects us from behind, and he also walks it out for us. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. Praise his name. And so he did provide. He did bring that healing. And then 2 weeks afterwards, after I wasn't supposed to be doing anything with my voice, I was leading worship in our church. Because God will not only bless you in the things that he wants to bless you in, but what's important to you is important to him. And he knew that singing was important to me. And I wanted to express my love for him in that way. And he opened that door, and I'm still leading worship all these years later. My little princess is 10 now. And she's coming up right with me, and we lead worship sometimes together in our house, and she says, Mama, I can't wait for the day. I can't wait for the day, and I promise that she will. She's got sass, y'all. I just want to tell you this morning to persevere, to endure your faith in who he is and what he can do. That's sometimes all you have to hold on to, but keep holding on. Remember what he has done in your life, because that will build your faith. And so every step, God, I remember you. God, I remember you. I'm taking another step in faith. I'm holding on. You're going to protect me from behind, Lord. And these guys in Luke 24, they were confused. These circumstances, they couldn't see the purpose in all of this. But can I tell you this morning, there's purpose in your pain. There is purpose in your pain. He has given you authority. There are times, yes, when he has to come in and rescue us. But can I just tell you that he is trying to not just rescue you, but make you a rescue for somebody else. There is authority. And when you have gone through some things and you have overcome some things, God gives you authority over that thing. And he's wanting you not just to walk it out for yourself, but to walk it out because somebody else may not have the strength for it. Amen. Somebody else may need you to stand in the gap and lift them up, okay? I mean, he's given us the authority. It's not just for us to sit pretty every week in this place, and we all look pretty in here, but he wants for us just to come together and not to pretend that life isn't happening. It's happening, but he wants you to be in the position not just to survive what comes your way, but to overcome. He wants to remove the obstacles that hinder you from getting into his presence and hearing his voice. He wants to keep you looking forward to your victory, not on your past struggles. He wants you to put doubt down and to discern his activity in your life and to take your worship to another level. Can we pray? Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you this morning. We thank you for your hand over us in this place. God, we have been in your presence this morning. And I pray for each one of us in this place, whatever circumstance we may be facing in this room, that you would open our eyes to see you walking beside us, walking us through. Lord, remove every doubt. Help us to take every thought captive to the word of God, because your word is truth. Sanctify us by your truth, Jesus, this morning. Your word is truth. Give us faith to trust you. No matter what comes, in Jesus' name, amen.
Can you give the Lord a big hand clap? You got to stand. You need to honor God this morning for the testimony you just heard. And then you need to praise him for what he's going to do in your life. Right now, give God some praise. Father, I thank you for your graciousness, Lord, for your mercy and your faithfulness in all of our lives. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you for your love. Lord, I just lift up every person today who is struggling in some way. In some way, many of us are struggling right now. If that's you, raise your hand. If that's you, just raise your hand. God wants to meet you right where you are right now, because God is a right now God. Now is the time of salvation, right now. So, Lord, we just come before you on behalf of those people who need your touch. And, God, we release your anointing to bring healing, to bring restoration, to move us from point A to point B, closer to you. Be Lord in our situation. God, I thank you that your arm is not too strong, not too short, that it can't reach down right where we are now and touch us by your Spirit. So, Father, we just pray your blessing on each person today. We pray your healing on that person that needs it. We pray for the step that the next one that would take, that it will be closer to you. Lord, we pray for the restoration of a heart, of a broken heart, of a broken life. Restoration of some disease that has hit people. Lord, I pray that you would move by your Spirit in Jesus' name. We thank you for meeting every need in this place today by your riches and glory in Christ. We thank you for it. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Happy Mother's Day. Bless the rest of your week. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.